And we are going to say hello to Mitchell Henderson, who has a lot of material. Now, maybe, I don't know what he's going to make of this, but it's very interesting. We all remember the Cuban Missile Crisis. 2 days ago, Russia began landing ships, troops, planes, and other war materials in Nicaragua. Now, I'm not saying that there are missiles in that shipment, in that movement, but if there were, and Russia would announce that, well, we have missiles now available in Nicaragua, how do you feel, Mr. Biden, to have someone fairly close to your border who has military capability like this? We'll see. Hello, Mitchell. Welcome back.
Thank you. Let me just point out something that a lot of people aren't aware of, but the largest Iranian embassy in the Western Hemisphere is in Managua, Nicaragua. It's humongous.
Interesting.
There's Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps people there and everything. I've been there. I've seen it. Okay. It's actually, it's just that the news never reports it to us. Okay. But Russia and Iran are pretty tight, so I think it would be a good object lesson. The Russians said that they didn't want to put troops in Cuba because Cuba's already having too much trouble with the United States. So that they declined to do for the benefit of Cuba. Okay.
Got it.
But
yeah.
Nicaragua is much further away. Okay. So what I want to talk to about tonight is wars and rumors of bigger wars, as you say, which I liked.
Okay.
So on June 6, 2022, in an interview with Al Jazeera, Dmitry Medvedev, who is half Ukrainian through his mother and is currently Deputy National Security Advisor of Russia, said, and I quote, "World War III has already started, and the world is racing towards nuclear war. This is not a forecast. It is what is actually happening."
Wow.
Okay.
Medvedev said this. Wow.
Yes, Medvedev said this.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, and he's a very sober man. He's not... known for making wild statements and stuff.
Well, Putin never would have let him become president if he weren't.
That's true. So in 1921, British Major General J.F.C. Fuller had his staff comb through the history of wars and battles to compile a list of the principles of war, because he wanted to know how everybody always wins battles. In the U.S. Army, officers like me had to memorize these principles so we could know how to fight and win. By 1993, the satanic cultural Marxist Clintonista regime decided that these principles conflicted with his vision of a kinder, softer way of warfare. It was a shame. We used this during the Gulf War in 1990-91 to win a quick and decisive victory against Saddam Hussein. So America has not taught them for more than 30 years. Officers are not taught this principles of war. What I want to do is describe the principles of war so you can use it to judge official NATO nuclear war strategy. Yeah. You can decide for yourself if we have any real military leadership. Keep in mind that these principles apply to everything from a fist fight between two individuals all the way up to a nuclear war. Okay, they apply across the board to all fights. Okay, for those of you who've been in fights, just think about these as I read them and think about how, when you were in a fight, how you use these principles. Okay, so the first one is objective. Direct every military operation towards a clearly defined, decisive, and obtainable objective. At no point in the global war on terrorism did we ever do this, which is why we lost. Offensive. Seize, retain, and exploit the initiative. Offensive action is the means by which the military force of a nation captures and holds the initiative. What is meant by the initiative is that you are taking action instead of just reacting to the enemy's moves, which is a losing. In a fist fight, you're going to lose if you do that. You are controlling the enemy forces by being the one who decides what action is taken and where. It throws your enemy off balance so you can control what the enemy must react to, okay? So the offensive and the initiative, taking the initiative, is very important. Mass. Concentrate combat power at the decisive place in time. Mass includes both the use of massive force and massive violence of action. See, these are the this is the things that they want taken out because, well, it's just not kind and nice. Okay, every war I've ever seen, 16 of them, I didn't see much niceness or kindness going on.
Wow.
Okay,
16
that's not what war is about. Okay,
no.
So then economy of force, allocate minimum social combat power to secondary efforts. Okay, maneuver. Place the enemy in a position of disadvantage through the flexible application of combat power. Unity of command. For every objective, ensure unity of effort under one responsible commander. Running a war through committee is a sure way to lose. Security. Never permit the enemy to acquire an unexpected advantage. Surprise. Strike the enemy at a time and place and in a manner for which he is unprepared. Simplicity. Prepare clear, uncomplicated plans and orders to ensure thorough understanding. We had a saying in the Army. We called it KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. Okay? So all plans had to be as simplified as possible. The more is involved in a plan, the more it can go wrong. The simpler the plan, the less goes wrong, okay? So keep in mind that Russian soldiers live and fight by the principles of war. NATO is too smart, too progressive, and too arrogant to recognize their value. Just as moral values decay, martial values decay, okay? So an army officer has to go through different levels of education on their way to general. I went to the Armored Cavalry Officers Basic Course, the Armored Officers Advanced Course, then to CAS Cube, or Combined Arms and Services Staff School. If I had stayed in, I would next go to Command and General Staff Officers Course, and then the Army War College, then to the National Defense University, and if stationed in NATO, to the NATO Defense College in Rome, Italy. Okay? So this is where our generals go. They go to the NATO Defense College, okay? What I'm about to tell you is NATO nuclear warfare doctrine as laid out by NDC research paper number 19 dated May 2021 entitled Principles of Nuclear Deterrence and Strategy. So, and I'm quoting here, nuclear strategy focuses on three main problems: avoiding major non-nuclear attack on one's national territory or that of an ally by threatening escalation, avoiding nuclear use by the adversary in the event of a conflict by threatening retaliation in kind or escalation, and three, avoiding surprise attack on one's nuclear forces or territory by launching preemptive, or damage limitation strike by deploying missile defenses or by threatening escalation. Okay, this sounds like weakness to me. Okay,
sure.
Notice the repetitive use of the words avoid, threat, and escalation. Russia knows that navies used to be used to project power, but those days are over. Russia's nuclear weapons are not used for bluffs or deterrence. They are the core method by which Russia projects power, okay? We do not get that through our head. We keep thinking like Russians think like we do. They think nothing like we do, okay? Yes.
Would you do me a favor? Go back and read that statement, that little remark by Medvedev. That's very important. That fit right in here.
Okay. He said, World War III has already started, and the world is racing towards nuclear war. This is not a forecast. It is what is actually happening. It's a good thing you brought that up, because as I'm talking about this, you can see that NATO is completely on a different sheet of music. Russia's like, this is it, okay? So the objective has already been attained by Russia. They went on nuclear alert at the beginning of World War III on February 24th. Russia made very clear and achievable nuclear objectives. Russia went on the offensive, even with its nuclear forces. So Russia has the nuclear initiative already. So we have failed at the objective because our strategy in Ukraine is ad hoc and varies by the day. The only thing that is clear is how nebulous, arbitrary, and unclear exactly what our objectives in Ukraine are. Also, we already know that Ukraine will lose, so none of our shifting objectives are actually achievable. Every dollar we pour into Ukraine is a waste of money and only serves to prolong the suffering of the Ukrainian people and impoverish the American people. The blowback to all the weapons that we give Ukraine to funnel into the international black market will be substantial in that it can fuel crime and civil wars for the next few decades. We have failed at the offensive because all we do is react to Russian moves, and not effectively so. We have failed at unity of command also because we have NATO policy, European Union policy, American policy, and each individual nation's making their own national policy. NATO's armies are not very effective, and neither is ours. They do not scare Russia, but Russia is in no mood to take any additional crap. Russia, of course, has unity of command. NATO nations are very divided on what to do. Russia is united in a holy cause. It is what comes later in the paper that is even more disturbing, and I'm quoting this from the NATO Defense College in Rome. Okay, so quote, initial use could be pure demonstration shot, a high-altitude EMP strike, or a limited number of strikes on military targets. A limited selective strike would reinforce deterrence. It is highly unlikely that the recipient would respond by a major counterstrike without first having evaluated the results.
See, that's Mitch, I'm sorry. That's very important. That depth of thinking, of psychology, of the enemy, is very important to understand. They wouldn't have to level the whole U.S. to win a nuclear war. Two or three strategic hits, and they say, have you had enough? It's real simple. So,
if they took out Washington, New York City, Chicago, Houston, and the port of Los Angeles, America's over.
Oh, San Diego. Strikes. San Diego.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. But you see in this thing, they're talking about, oh, well, they're trying to say that we'll actually throw a nuke over into Russia or above Russia, and they're not going to just attack us back, you know. They wouldn't do that, you know. These people live in a bubble. They live in a pretend world. Yeah, okay. These are, you know, what do we have? Do we have generals who have never been personally in a fight in their life that they don't know that that's not how it goes? You start a fight in a bar with some big guy, let me tell you, if you're backing up and you're pulling pushers, he's going to smash you into the ground. Okay. It's like as soon as you know that you're in a fight with him, You need to focus and put maximum power and violence of action on him to save yourself from getting hurt. Because the more aggressive and the more you blitz him and just attack, the less damage will be done to your body. And that's your objective. You want to live. You want to have less damage. It costs money to go to the hospital and get broken arms fixed and stuff. You don't want to go through that. So you want to make the other guy go through that. Okay. So let me go on with their statement. Further, vertical escalation could take a number of forms, like striking a higher number of targets or different kinds of targets. Horizontal escalation refers to opening a new theater of conflict. Okay, end quote. This thinking is suicidal. It is pulling punches. It violates the principle of mass. You want to fight by massing force and massing violence. Weakness and hesitancy will never allow you to win any fight, ever, on any scale. Anybody who has been in a bar fight should know this as obvious. Russia has read this, of course, this paper. They read this. If I can get a hold of it, Russia can get a hold of it, okay? Not that I give it to Russia, but just it's available enough for me to get. It's available enough for Russia to get also. So they read these things and they study them, okay? And they may use something similar, but in their case, they are talking about completely destroying the USA, Canada, the UK, Ireland, Netherlands, Belgium, Spain, Italy, and Greece, because that is where all of NATO's nukes are located. So when they launch their nukes, they're going to take out every place that has nukes, okay? Every nuclear power that they're up against, they will fight, okay? They will nuke. They will nuke all of their nuclear opponents first to reduce the threat of nuclear counterattack. NATO is insane to use a demonstration nuclear attack on a nation like Russia that has almost three times as many nuclear weapons than we do. The retaliation would be massive and immediate. France has nuclear weapons, but France is not a part of NATO command structure. Nuking it may be optional for the Russians. I don't know. I don't have any insight into that right now. But there is a possibility. I mean, Macron went over there to talk to him about something. Maybe he went over there and said, please, don't bomb France. You know, I don't know. But let me move on with the war in the Ukraine itself. My correspondent in the Ukraine says that Ukraine is still losing about 200 to 400 troops per day. They say at this point the Ukrainian army barrier troops are killing more Ukrainian soldiers than the Russians are. The Donbass is being worn down. Right now, Russian troops have 15 artillery tubes for every one that the Ukrainian bandits have. The Russians have destroyed most Ukrainian artillery, and the ammunition for their artillery is gone. Norway offered them 22 outdated howitzers, which will make no difference, but means that Norway is now on the list for nuclear attack. Germany is sending 7 old howitzers, but they are on the attack list already. They are still begging for long-range missiles, but the Ukrainians will absolutely use them to fire into Russia proper. That is a red line for nuclear war. If they use them within Ukraine, Putin has said that he has plenty of missiles to fire deep into Ukraine and leave no area of Ukraine untouched. On the Russian side, they were losing up to 12 soldiers a day, but now many days pass without the death of any Russian soldiers. Soon the Ukrainian abandoned army will completely collapse and at a tipping point reach where Russian forces can go anywhere they want. The newspaper today, the New York Times, said that in a few weeks, Russian troops will be free to range across the Ukraine because the Donbass will be worn down. The last main city in Luhansk Republic, Severodonetsk, it is completely surrounded and cut off. There is no way to get any reinforcements in and no way for anybody to get out. That's their last major battle to take over Luhansk. Then it'll be Donetsk is next. Okay.
For all of you out there who don't know, the Donbass in the east is the industrial heart of the country. That's where all the products were made, all the resources are. The west is just a vast plain of wheat fields for the most part.
Exactly. So provocations. The West, which always complains about other nations not following the so-called rules-based international order, are violating the Vienna Convention on Diplomacy. Russian foreign minister attempted to fly to Russia's ally Serbia last Monday, but his aircraft was denied permission to fly over Bulgaria, North Macedonia, and Montenegro. Sergei Lavrov stated, "We don't mince words here. It's yet another vivid and didactic demonstration of how far NATO and the EU can go in employing the lowest means to pressure those who aren't guided by their national interests and aren't ready to sacrifice their principles and dignity for the sake of the rules that the West is imposing as a substitute for international law." Kremlin Press Secretary Dmitry Peskov called this hostile actions towards our country. Germany also has ordered Serbia to immediately recognize the independence of Kosovo that the U.S. and NATO stole without U.N. approval from Serbia in 1999, and to start sanctioning Russia, or they will starve Serbia out. And the U.S. Russian ambassador has complained that the U.S. State Department official Wendy Sherman sent him a letter asking him to defect, and the FBI agents are passing out flyers to all embassy staff encouraging them to defect. My journalist contact in Russia says Russia is planning its exit from the embassy in the USA to get people safely out and home, so that Russia can break formal diplomatic relations with the USA. The day they do that, that's the day for sure, beyond the shadow of a doubt, the day Russia breaks diplomatic relations with us, you better run that second when you hear it, okay?
Because
trouble is coming.
So they're not going to announce it in advance.
No.
If you see a flash, don't look that way. Look the other way.
Yeah, don't look.
Hopefully you're not under it. But
They will give the Americans only 48 hours to leave the U.S. embassy in Moscow. The journalist also told me that this means that Russia will definitely, when they invade NATO, that they will take the eastern and southeastern provinces of Romania, recognizing that the rest of Romania, Transylvania, as Hungarian territory. They'll also take Bulgaria and help Serbia take North Macedonia, Kosovo, Albania, and Montenegro. They will allow Croatia to take western Bosnia if they help the Serbs take eastern Bosnia. These will be massive attacks using nuclear weapons to destroy the populations of those nations that Russia is fighting. In other words, an invasion of Romania and Bulgaria doesn't mean they're going to surround Bucharesti or Sofia and siege them out. They're going to drop a nuke on them before they even get there. Okay, and they're bursters, so they don't have to go through radiation or anything. And they don't have to
forget Putin's hypersonic, as in 6,800 miles an hour, cruise missiles are nuclear capable.
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He can do it easy anytime, you know. So the thing about it is that, so you see NATO and the EU, they're bullying Serbia right now. So it's like they're picking a fight with Serbia. Okay, and you know, who are the good guys here? You know, who are the bad guys? How does Germany have a right to tell Serbia how to run its international relations and what to recognize or not recognize? Those are sovereign issues. Those are not. Serbia does not belong to the EU and doesn't belong to NATO. What business is it of Germany to tell them what to do? Okay. So this is just how it is. Let me see. Polish member of parliament, Radosław Sikorski, is encouraging NATO to give Ukraine offensive nuclear weapons because under new rules, NATO has the right to do so. These are new rules that we made up, decisions we rationalized. Okay, in the West, that we can give Ukraine nuclear weapons. Okay, we're allowed to do that. Okay, nobody can give anybody else a nuclear weapon, but we can do that. Okay, it's against the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Okay, so So they say NATO has the right to do so. Russian State Duma Speaker Vyacheslav Volodin to say that it will definitely lead to an all-out nuclear war and the West will be destroyed forever. Keep in mind that the World Economic Forum would like nothing better. It is the Satanist Zionist dream. You can expect that dream to come true, okay? So next let me talk about disunity in Ukraine, disunity in NATO, and disunity in the world, okay? Because this is a world war. It's already a world war, okay? Although the fighting is just going on in Ukraine, it's a world war. My Ukrainian contact said that the Ukraine is already falling apart. Ukrainian soldiers are leaving the battlefield in enough strength so that they can fight through the Ukrainian barrier soldiers that are there to kill them when they try to leave. That many Ukrainian soldiers are surrendering to the Russians and many more just desert individually, slip off into the night. Also, hatred for the Zelensky government is growing rapidly as any man from 18 to 60 may not leave the country and they are conscripted into the army on the spot if they are seen outside. In addition, the Ukrainian people know to flee long before the soldiers do because the Ukrainian bandit army will murder them all, men, women, and children, rather than leave them in Russian-controlled areas. The Ukrainian bandit units are now deserting or leaving the battlefield. Russian artillery clears the trench system out, but it is then flooded with untrained and unmotivated conscripts who refuse to fight to the end. These troops are using World War I weapons at this point on the front. Okay, much of the most advanced heavy weapons that NATO ships them is falling into Russian hands almost as fast as the Ukrainians get it. NATO is disunited. Most East Germans, 58%, who were never taught by their communist occupiers to hate themselves like West Germans have been, are opposed to war with Russia and opposed to helping out Ukraine in any way. As they get cold and hungry, disapproval may create problems for the German government. Turkey will not allow Finland and Sweden into NATO. Even today, Jens Stoltenberg, NATO General Secretary, said that had to admit that Turkey's complaints were serious and legitimate. Okay, so in other words, they're not expecting Turkey to bow. You see, Turkey has the biggest army in Europe. There's no army bigger in NATO, except for the United States Army, than the Turkish Army. So Stoltenberg knows that they need Turkey, okay, for just pure manpower and stuff. And that's something that Finland and Sweden do not have. They do not have the military of the size that Turkey does. So they're not much of a contribution, okay? So, but now the woke governments of Finland and Sweden unnecessarily made themselves targets of Russia's ire. Their woke leaders are going to destroy their nations because they decided to virtue signal in this war. Turkey has also lodged formal diplomatic warnings to Germany and France for allowing Kurdish Communist Party rallies in their countries. Turkey has not sanctioned Russia. Ukraine has asked for Israeli support. However, it is Russia that keeps Syrian forces from attacking Israel and allows Israel to attack any Hezbollah or Iranian troops in Syria. So they, of course, told Ukraine absolutely not. Just as France got angry at Australia for canceling its submarine deal to allow the USA to build submarines for them, now Norway wants to give France back their NH-90 helicopters and are asking for their money back. That's 500 million euros, so they can buy new helicopters from the United States. This is creating a lot of friction between the United States and France. It's like France just always sees the United States stabbing them in the back at every opportunity they get. So France sees the USA as the problem and may not be the USA's camp when Ukraine collapses. Poland halted its free fuel supplies to Ukraine because they do not have enough fuel for their own people. Ukraine can have it, but now they must pay. This is where more of your tax dollars will go. Remember that the war in Ukraine costs 20 gallons of fuel per day per soldier to fight this war. German economy minister Robert Habeck said that the European unity demonstrated after Russia invaded has begun to crumble. Europe cannot agree on Russian sanctions. Meanwhile, Iran and Venezuela have signed a 20-year cooperation deal as both refuse to sell oil to the U.S. That it has shamelessly been begging for. Just like the Asian summit in South Korea was a bust, not offering anything to Asian nations, defense-related or even free trade agreements, the summit of the Americas in Los Angeles was a flop. Many nations refused to come, like Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, Nicaragua, Venezuela, and Bolivia. The summit had no agenda, no theme, and it had no decision points. Who wants to listen to a senile old pedophile issue them orders that they must obey? Latin America and the Caribbean nations want to set up CELAC, or the Community of American and Caribbean States, which will not include the USA or Canada. On the world front, a counter to the G7 nation has formed and called itself the new G8 nations, which includes nations not involved in the sanctions war: China, India, Russia, Indonesia, Brazil, Mexico, Iran, and Turkey are the new G8. Russian Duma Speaker Volodin said the rupture of existing economic relations by Washington and its allies has led to the formation of new points of growth in the world. We are losing the diplomatic war against Russia. The pedophile Marxist Biden regime is currently bragging that Biden has gloriously united NATO like never before.
I do not think so.
The world's disunited. NATO's disunited. Everything's disunited. Okay. So Russia's winning that war. You know, you have to remember, they sat there for years and prepared. So let me discuss the economic war a little bit. Putin and Chairman Xi have been preparing for global economic warfare for 10 years. 10 years ago, China started selling off U.S. Treasury bonds. They were selling bonds so fast that the U.S. Treasury thought it might create a collapse in our bond prices. So the Treasury set up a private bond company in Belgium that would use American taxpayer money to buy our own bonds back to artificially keep up prices. If you were a private individual doing the same thing, it would be called unethical, immoral, a con game, and you would be looking at jail time. It is cheating and lying, plain and simple. Inflation, measured by 1980 standards, is now at 17% in the USA, and real unemployment is at 29% of the total working-age Americans. So 29% of everybody who's of working age in America is not working. Okay. The stock market
for all intents and purposes, that's one-third of our workforce. One-third.
Right. So the stock market has lost $8 trillion now in wealth since January 1st. The Green New Deal means that gas prices will continue to soar as well as inflation. You may find it odd that there is more food on the shelves right now. This is an illusion. A food supply analyst with Orchard Midlands Daniel, America's biggest food company, explained that there is not a greater supply of food, and to the contrary, food prices have gone up so high that people are not buying. As prices go up and demand decreases, food will begin to rot, less will be produced, and what is produced will cost far more. He said that now is the final chance to store up on non-perishables like canned foods.
Yeah.
J.P. Morgan Chase CEO said a month ago that Americans will be starving to death by Christmas. A week ago, he said that an economic hurricane is on its way, and this week that the USA is about to collapse. Okay, this is not some conspiracy theorist out there. This is ahead of J.P. Morgan Chase telling you that America is on the verge of collapse. It's not hyperbole. He's talking about real financial issues. These men say serious things, okay? They may not be good people, but what they say is serious, okay? A week ago at the World Economic Forum in Davos, they said that central banks are printing money to buy gold and that is exacerbating inflation worldwide. The WEF stated that global inflation means the end of your personal freedom. Where I am, gasoline increases by 50 cents almost each day. So every day I go out, it's 50 cents more. How long before gas is $10 or $15 a gallon? Next will come gasoline ration cards, which you can only get if you've taken the kill shot. Food ration coupons are coming, as well as hunting down people who have hoarded food to seize it on behalf of the historically marginalized people. They will jail you under some Soviet-inspired law. Okay. So I want you to think about this, because this is history repeating itself, okay? If we go back to the Weimar Republic, okay, what people were doing there is the inflation was so bad that people went out to nightclubs every night just to party and spend their money, because the next day it was that same money when they woke up would not buy the same thing. Okay, so we go to bed tonight and our gasoline jumps 50 cents. Okay, so already, like here in the United States, just because of gas prices, already I saw in the regular newspaper that a lot of medical workers are calling in sick just because they can't afford the gasoline to go to work. Okay, so... please understand the picture that I'm painting for you. As fuel and food become scarce, making travel difficult, we creep ever closer to nuclear Armageddon. As the likelihood of nuclear war increases, the ability to drive away from it becomes more difficult. So when is the time to cut and run for the hills? It's already too late. Please get out while you can. The Satanist Zionists and their puppet, the pedophile Marxist Biden regime, and all of their woke running dogs are setting a death trap for you. And all you need to fall into it is nothing. It's a trap. It only requires your complacency. Okay? So, listen, change is hard for people. And people naturally have this inertia that keeps them from making big changes in their lives and stuff. But, you know, as things advance, people need to get motivated and start thinking about the major changes that they're going to have to make in their lives. And we're talking weeks. We're not talking, you know, like next year, a couple years down the road. We're talking weeks.
Yeah. That's right.
The tide is expected to turn, and they even said this in the newspaper today, that the tide is expected to turn in Ukraine in 2 or 3 weeks. Okay, that means that once the Donbass front crumbles, okay, then Russia will be easy. It'll be easy for Russia to sweep across the countryside, and
they'll go right to the river immediately, and Ukraine will try to defend the opposite side of the river, but that won't last.
No. Exactly. So anyways, it's like things are only going to keep going up. I remember a year ago waiting for lumber prices to come down. Well, they went up, 200%, then came down 50%. And I bought some Tudor fours and stuff, but everything that you have, is just becoming so expensive. Along with the things becoming expensive, you also have the problem of crime. You know, I'm sure people in different areas feel a different level of crime, but like right where my son lives, crime is out of control. I mean, I had to go all day without cable. I don't have cable, but internet. I had to go all day with internet because some homeless person went down there and kicked the cable box around and made everything unattached and loose. Okay. So, I mean, people are just destroying things to destroy things.
Mitch, they're going back up in the trees. They are decivilizing.
Oh, yeah. They definitely are. This city voted to have, they have five districts that voted to have four homeless, designated homeless camps. And like what's these pretty public parks and stuff, they're to become homeless camps. Okay. And they'll put porta potties out there and stuff like that for them. But these are also crime central. Okay, and they're trying to put these camps mostly in affluent neighborhoods because, well, there's something for the homeless people to steal in affluent neighborhoods. They don't want to put them in the bad part of town because it's already bad. Okay, so as the crime goes up, as the prices go up, it's like you should be feeling a pressure now. You know, and even look at the things that our government does. You know, there's some things like in the Constitution, it says that you cannot tax interstate commerce, period. It just says that. But yet when they had this dispute over buying things on the Internet, like if the distribution plant was in New Mexico and I bought it from New Mexico, of course I pay New Mexico sales taxes. But what they wanted to do is if somebody bought it from New Mexico and Arizona, Arizona wants them to pay sales taxes there. That is interstate taxation on interstate trade. That's unconstitutional. Now they're talking about passing a red flag law. The Constitution fundamentally makes a very distinct point that you cannot lose anything, lose your freedom, your property, or anything without due process of law. Okay? So this is where if you're accused, they come and take your guns away. Okay? And I thought when they said they were going to make alterations to the background check, I thought something was up there. Something they were going to do something dirty on that too. And what that is what they want to do is they just want to get less and less people having guns. They want cops going out and charging people with domestic violence, getting them convicted of domestic violence, and so they can take their guns away from them. The federal government is putting out these task force to take guns away from felons. In other words, they're trying to take guns away from everybody that they can, okay, without causing a big backlash like they had in Virginia a couple years ago when they suggested taking everybody's guns away from them. That's not going to work. It's not going to cut out. I mean, that's it comes down to the thing I was talking about last week about you have to draw red lines. How much are you going to take? What are you going to put up with?
Sure.
You know,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, you have to draw some lines. Like I have lines. Like I'm not going to get vaccinated, and if they try to forcibly vaccinate me, well, then somebody will have to come and take care of them after I hurt them. Okay, because it's not going to happen. I'm not going to take their shot. Okay, it's a kill shot. I can see it. I can see it. This thing, the circle of people that I deal with all the time, I can see they're degrading from this shot and stuff. They're getting unhealthy. They're aging. They're having lots and lots more medical problems. Okay, so this is just. You know, I mean, we're there, people. We live in a totalitarian police state already. It's just that they know when to push and when not to push. They need to find an excuse to push. Okay, but they're going to push to a point where it's going to be unacceptable for the people at some point. Okay, but the main thing is. The main thing is that nuclear war is coming. I mean, listen, the former president and prime minister of Russia has said it's coming. We're racing towards it. Okay, What does he know that we don't know?
What else does it take?
Well, he doesn't have to listen to CNN, you know,
that's
I guess.
True. Yeah. Loopy yeah. land. The American media is one of the biggest enemies in the history of this country, maybe the biggest, because it serves the masters of evil, and it does it very well.
Oh, yeah, it does. Not only that, but it amazes me how they'll put an article in today, and they'll write that article in such a way that they believe, honestly, that you do not remember the article they wrote last week, okay? So like, for example, here in New Mexico, they put in the newspaper, we're going to spend $4 million to send census takers down to illegal alien detention centers and count all them. Because, see, the state gets $20,000 per year per person they count from the federal government for 10 years. So counting people is a way for the government to get money. And they use that money to oppress you. Well, there's a large group of people here in New Mexico realize that. Now, this could not be organized through the Internet because if you refuse to take the census, it's a $100 fine. If you encourage others to not do it, it's a $500 fine. So no big deal. But, you know, who wants to give the government more money? So just by word of mouth, I know very few people that took the census. Okay. And this isn't just white people. This is Hispanic people. This is all kinds of people. People who don't feel like this government represents them or cares about them. They said, why should we give them money? Why should we get counted so that we get another congressman who's not going to represent us at all? So why do it? It's a very defeatist attitude, but it was very effective against the government, okay? Because what came out next is they came out and said, oh, people of color and underprivileged people were vastly undercounted in the count. This was like a month after the first article, okay? Well, in fact, it was better off people who decided not to be counted. The poor people get counted, you know. I mean, they go out and make sure they get counted, okay? So that was their complaint a mere 2 weeks ago. And yesterday in the newspaper, they said that New Mexico had the best counting of any state in the whole country, that we had the most comprehensive count of anybody. So can they make up their mind, you know? Are we underprivileged, or are we undercounted, or have we done the best at counting people, you know? What's the true story? Well, what happens to people's minds when you're told contradictory things day after day, things that contradict each other, and it's said as if it is true? George Orwell called that doublethink, holding two contradictory thoughts in your head at the same time and not realizing that they contradict each other.
Yep.
It's a classical brainwashing thing.
100% brainwashing. You know, another thing, and this is not to demean anybody, and it doesn't necessarily occur in everybody, but there are a lot of people in this country and around the world who have taken the shots, and they have been changed mentally, intellectually. Their ability to think clearly has been degraded, abraded. They're not the same. Their attitudes have changed. They're hostile. They're nasty. They're mean. They're not the same. And I know I have heard this too many times to tell you. It's just one of the side effects, intended side effects, of these kill shots. They've changed people.
Oh, yeah. I mentioned I had two nieces that I got along very well with. I think I was... Well, I would say their favorite uncle, but really I'm kind of their only uncle. So, of course, I'm their favorite one. But they were always very respectful to me and, you know, happy and stuff like that. Then they got the shot, and, man, it's like, wow, it just came out. They're nasty and hard to be around. I can't even be around them. I can't talk to them anymore, you know.
How old are they?
And, one is like 36 and one is 24.
Uh-huh. And they have really changed that much, see? See?
They changed drastically. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I won't talk or associate with them anymore because they're so nasty and foul. Okay. So,
well, this society has been and it continues to be destroyed from within and from without. It is being attacked around the clock, and it is falling apart. Geez, I hate to say that, but it's the truth. Mitchell, that was an extraordinary presentation. Read that Medvedev thing again. Just important. That's very important, please.
Okay, direct quote. World War III has already started, and the world is racing towards nuclear war. This is not a forecast. It is what is actually happening. So the world is racing towards nuclear war. Racing doesn't mean a long time off, okay? It's just like they're poking the bear constantly. Oh, let's give Ukraine some nuclear weapons. Oh, let's give them long-range missiles. Oh, let's do this. Let's do that. It's like we're begging them to nuke us.
I've never seen anything more blatant or more profoundly obvious than that statement you just made.
Yeah.
We are literally, by our behavior, begging to be nuked. But that's part of the game. It's part of the plan.
Yeah.
Okay. Superb. Take care, Mitch. Great job.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Night. Mitchell Henderson. And we'll have that posted this evening. Okay. Monday, nasty day. Back with you tomorrow. Take care.